Welcome. Let's join Dr. Ruth with today's message.
Genesis chapter 12. Let us look at what this chapter is telling us, just an overview of this chapter, then I will go back and highlight specific verses. Genesis 12 verses 1 through 9, here is what is happening here. God asked Abram to leave his hometown and family and relocate to a new land without much details. Just like God would do it. He will lead you step by step. God promised he would bless Abram and all of his descendants and curse the nations that curses him. And God also promised to bless Abram in multiple other ways. Abram obeyed and left his family, taking his wife and his nephew Lot, and they left to head to the land of Canaan. In verses 6 through 13, we are told how Abraham experienced some hardship. Due to severe famine in the land of Canaan, Abraham traveled to Egypt to live there for some time. Because his wife Sarah was very beautiful, Abraham asked her to lie that she was his sister, which is actually half true. Okay, Abraham asked Sarah to lie that she was his sister in order to prevent the Egyptians from killing him because of her beauty. In Genesis chapter 20, I believe verse 12, we are later told that actually Sarah was Abraham's half-sister. And then in verses 14 through, through the rest of this chapter, we are told how Abraham, while in Egypt, Pharaoh and his officials treated Abraham very well because of Sarah's sake, because of her beauty. And Abraham acquired much livestock and increased in wealth. But God inflicted punishment on Pharaoh because of Sarah, okay, whom Pharaoh had taken as his wife. Okay, now let's go and look at specific verses in chapter 12. I will begin with verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." Like I said earlier, the Lord did not give Abram much instructions, just go. Okay. And the Lord said, "I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." This was the promise that God laid in the heart of Abram. And just with an obedient heart, he believed God and left his household. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, a sign of obedience there, and Lot went with him. The problem here is that the Lord called Abram and not Abram and Lot, you see. But Abram took Lot with him. And we will later learn that that was a mistake because it led to much trouble. And just to go back to the promise that the Lord made to Abram, referring to, "I will bless the nation that blesses you and I will curse the nations that curse you." This has actually come to pass and it is still happening. All of the nations that support Israel, okay, I know I'm going ahead now. Abram eventually came to the promised land. He was heading to the promised land, rather, which would later on become Israel. We will talk about that later. But the point here is that we see how God is already saying that all of the nations that come against Israel, he would be against them. And this is actually happening in the world today. All the nations that support Israel, God blesses them. All the nations that go against Israel, God is against them. Okay, so picking up here in verse 5, he took his wife Sarah, we talked about that, his nephew Lot, all his possessions they had accumulated. Okay, now I want to come down to verse 7. So now we know that Abram had left his family. He took his nephew Lot, he took his wife Sarah, and they are traveling to the land that the Lord had called him to go to, which is the land of Canaan. So now in verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Here we are seeing that the Lord appeared to Abram for the first time to reiterate his promise to him. Okay? Again, keep in mind that Abram is heading to the land of Canaan. In verse 8, from there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent. Okay? And I'm going to advance now. Let's move to verse 10. Here is where we are told that in verse 10, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. Now, he had left Canaan, that area there, and came to Egypt to settle because of famine. You know, let me pause here for a second. God had called him. Just think about this. God had placed a promise in his heart. He had obeyed. And he is in the process of accomplishing God's will. Then he ran into a major tough time. He ran into a famine. You see, this was really like a test to Abram, okay? Was Abram going to trust God's promises in spite of the hardship that he was experiencing, or was he going to just dismiss the whole thing? You see, Abram is a man of faith. We will see that throughout this book of Genesis, and he is actually listed as one of the men of faith, as discussed in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, which is considered the book of faith or the chapter of faith. Abram just believed God, okay? But likewise, when God places something in our heart, a calling, and it does not mean that everything will go smoothly. It does not mean that it's going to be a free ride. We may run into some hardships. It does not mean that God has abandoned us. It just means that we live in a fallen world and God is always going to be with us. If he has called us to do something, we have to obey like Abraham did, take a step of faith in spite of the hardship we run into, knowing that if it's God, it will come to pass as we obey in faith, which we should not give up easily because we run into a hard time. Running into a hard time in the middle of God's will is a common phenomenon which you will find a lot in all of the patriarchs of the Bible. They went into some hardships, but God was with them. Okay? So that is a lesson, right, that we have to remember. Okay. Now, let's pick it up in verse 11. As he, referring to Abram, was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. verse 12, when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Here, Abraham got into fear. This decision was purely fear-driven. He lost sight of God's protection, and now he was looking at the Egyptians, who were a mighty power at that time. He became afraid that they will punish him because of Sarah's beauty, and as such, what did he do? He asked Sarah to lie. This is wrong, wrong, wrong. Again, let me clarify here. This is not God telling Abraham to lie. Okay? Please take note. Now, this is a good time for me to say this. In the Bible account, we have what is called descriptive account and we have prescriptive account. Descriptive account just refers to the fact that the author of the book, in this case Moses, is just describing, telling us what happened. Okay? Prescriptive means that God is giving us a decree or a prescription of what to do. So don't get confused between the descriptive and prescriptive account. Descriptive account is just telling a story that we can learn from not to do. In this case, Abraham lied. God did not tell him to lie. He lied. Okay, so this is a descriptive and not a prescriptive. I can't even speak. So, but you get the point. So don't go and say that, oh, Abraham was a man of faith and he lied and God allowed it. No, God did not. Abraham did it. And he would later on repent. So I hope you got that. And in verse 14, when Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarah was a very beautiful woman, just like Abraham had thought he was right. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. Long story short, Pharaoh saw Sarah, he liked her, he took her as his wife. Okay? Now, we're going to skip down to now. When I am skipping down, I want for you to, in your private time, go back and read all of these verses that I am skipping. Like I said earlier, by skipping, I am not saying that these verses are not important. They are important. Every verse in the Bible is important. But I am skipping because I'm summarizing, giving you an overview, and I want for you to go back in your quiet and private time to read this verse by verse, okay, to get the big picture. Okay, so verse 17, but the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abraham's wife, Sarah. The Lord was not pleased with this. So Pharaoh summoned Abraham and asked, what have you done to me? Apparently, we don't know, the scripture doesn't tell us, but one way or the other, we know that Pharaoh figured it out, that Abraham had lied to him. Okay? So Pharaoh said, what have you done to me? He said, why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abraham to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. So essentially, Pharaoh is like, oh, no. This is bad luck. You know, Abraham, take your wife, take your woman, take all your possession, depart from my presence. Go! I don't want your God to bring punishment upon me. So Abraham took his wife and his possessions and he left. So that brings us to the end of chapter 12. So what principles can we learn from Genesis chapter 12? Okay, first principle, although Abraham obeyed God, okay, to leave his family and his household, he took Lot with him against God's instructions. Abraham did not seek God's advice in this matter. He just took Lot. He just assumed. Isn't this so familiar to you? At least it is to me. A lot of times we just take things for granted. We just assumed that the natural things are okay with God and we don't seek his advice. God really wants to be involved in every area of our life. You see, God called Abram. He didn't say to take Lot, but Abram just assumed because Lot was there to just take Lot. But God did not say that. Okay, so we see how also principle number two, this is a man of faith. Okay, so far he had just obeyed God and taking a step of faith, leaving his family, going into a strange land, essentially not even knowing where he is going. And God has promised to bless him. He just believed it. And now we are beginning to see that Abram, being a great man of faith, has issues just like you and I, okay? A lot of fallen nature as a fallen mankind is about to be revealed here. He lied, okay? So Abram's infallibility as a fallen human being is quite evidenced here. He lied for self-preservation. He became afraid. He wanted to protect himself. So what did he do? He asked his wife to lie. Okay, so now application. I think you already figured this out, that if God calls you to do something, if God instructs you to do something, do not take it for granted and just add extra to what God is asking you to do without seeking God's advice. Okay, and just like Abram, God may be asking you today to leave everything you have right now. Okay, for a God-ordained new direction and adventure in your life without much details. You know, this was really hard for me. When God called me into ministry, man, I sensed the calling when I had, I believe, about a year or so to complete my degree to become a doctor. And I was so confused. I said, wait a minute. I'm just about to be a doctor. I'm going to have over $200,000 of school loan. How am I going to do this? I was trying to figure it out. And it would take me 2 years to come to a place of submission and accepting that calling, because the desire and the interest just kept getting louder in my heart. You see, we cannot figure out these things. If God places a desire in your heart, if God is calling you to leave your family, if God is calling you to change careers, if God is calling you to go somewhere else, the best thing you can do to save time, don't be like me now. It took me 2 years to take a step of faith because I was trying to figure out everything, you see, but I have learned the hard way. And today I would tell people that I just wasted a lot of time. I would have been much advanced in my ministry had I not tried to figure things out. You see, just act like Abraham. If God calls you, just take a step of faith. And if it is God, he will confirm it. God is not going to lay out point A to point Z in front of you. That wouldn't be faith. Besides, if God shows you everything, that will scare you. God is so gracious. He leads us step by step. As you take one step of faith, God will show you the next step. And we will find out throughout the scripture that that is how God often directs people. Okay? In my case, when I took the first step of faith, I registered for a Bible college and I registered at a university in the School of Religion. At the same time, when I took the first step, I started sensing God's peace and confirmation that God had called me to do this. And all of my worries about, oh, my school loan or my office, all of the worries started to subside. Okay? So likewise, if God is calling you to do something, do not wait to figure everything out. You will never, never figure it out. Just take a step of faith. As you take one step, God will reveal the next step. As you take the third step, he will reveal the fourth step, just like that, okay? And he will confirm it. It's a chance, but you got to try. If you don't try, you won't know, okay? So that is what we learned about Abram in this chapter. So let's look at another application here. Like I said, Earlier, Abram, a man of faith, also had many problems. We are beginning to see them. He lied. Again, that was not God's intention for him to lie. That was not God asking him to lie. He was just trying to protect himself. And he will run into major problems. So each time we choose our will against and beyond God's will, and we try to protect ourselves, we only make a mess of things. Okay, we only make a mess of things. So whatever you do, try to avoid this whole notion of self-preservation. You cannot preserve yourself. Let God protect and preserve you as you obey him. Okay? All right. So then the last application here is regarding to Lot. A lot of times when God places a desire in our heart, we want to add to God's instructions. We want to be like a little Holy Spirit. Don't do that. If God calls you to do something, places a desire in your heart, just do exactly what you sense that God is asking you to do. Don't add to it. Because each time you add to it or you subtract from it, you only bring problems, okay, upon yourself. So just do exactly what God has called you to do and trust him with the rest. Okay, so that is another lesson there. All right, so now we are going to move on to Genesis chapter 13. Okay, Genesis chapter 13. Let's look at the overall summary highlight of this chapter before I go back and highlight specific verses. Okay, verses 1 through 13. Here, Abram and Lot had become very wealthy men with much possession. Okay, as a result, their land became too small to accommodate their possession, and their headsmen started quarreling. Now we're beginning to see problems between Abram and Lot. As such, Abram asked his nephew Lot to leave, so they parted ways. Abram stayed in Canaan while Lot relocated close to Sodom. So verses 14 through 18 is teaching us that God appeared to Abram again after he parted ways with Lot, and the Lord reiterated his promise to Abraham. Okay, and so let's go here and look at specific verses in chapter 13. Let's begin with verse 5. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and Lot's. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So now, Abram and Lot are fighting because they have both become very wealthy. And so in verse 8, we're going to find out how Abram is about to make a decision here to stop the quarreling. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you?" So Abram is essentially telling Lot, "Hey, let's stop fighting. Look at you, all of this land is in front of you. Let's part company. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left." This really tells you something about Abram. He was he really wanted peace with Lot. And he gave Lot the choice to choose first. Abram was the one who brought Lot along. He tagged Lot in, if you will, into God's blessings in his life. So he would have been selfish to say, hey, I will choose first. But Abraham, being a kind man and wanted peace, gave Lot the opportunity to choose first. Verse 10, Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. Okay? Now, so Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. Did you notice something here? The way Lot made this decision, he just looked at it. He just looked at it and it looked really good on the outside. And based on the beauty and based on the looks, he made a decision. We will later find out that that was a bad decision. And the two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tent near Sodom. Now, the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. So now we see how Lot is living very close to Sodom, okay? And this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to learn about that in the coming chapters. So Lot just went by what looked good. And then Abram, after Lot had made his decision, Abram chose after Lot. And part of this, I believe, Abram really allowed God to guide his direction. Okay? And this do you know people who make decisions like Lot? They just look at something because it looks good. I want that. It looks so good. Give it to me. And they get all excited, you know. There is a very popular saying that I'm sure you have heard, that do not judge a book by its color, okay, or by its beauty. Because things do not always seem like they appear, you see. This reminds me of a story about a gentleman who picked up a lady after a nightclub. She saw this lady in the nightclub. Boy, she was dressed to the max. She was looking beautiful. Her hair was just flawless, gorgeous. Her makeup was perfect. Her body was like the best figure. The way she walked, man, she did the catwalk like a model. She was looking so attractive. And this man saw her and he lusted for her. He just looked at her just like Lot looked at the land and said, that is my woman. And he got all excited. You know what this man did? He picked up this lady after the nightclub and took her to his hotel. Okay, when they got to the hotel to take care of business, I am not approving this. I am just telling you a story that makes, it's a good story, okay, with regards to Lot's decision. They got to the hotel and were about to take care of business. They were about to sin against God. And this lady started getting ready to put on her beautiful lingerie. She took off the hair and it was a wig, okay? And the guy saw that she was bald. It was a wig. And she took off the skirt and the guy saw that she had prosthesis. She had no leg. And then she took off her blouse and everything, and the guy saw that he was a man. and the lady said, come on, guy, let's go for it. And the man ran out of the hotel. Oh, my goodness, what a story. I don't know how true that story is, but it just goes to tell you how when we make decisions based on what we see, we are just, we are making the wrong decision most of the time, okay? So don't make decisions based on your senses, based on whether something looks good. Make decisions based on what the Bible tells you. Okay, that is the moral of the story. All right. Okay, that was a good laugh. I hope that was funny to you. Okay. Now, where did I leave off here? Verse 14. Okay, I am still in Genesis 13, verse 14. The Lord said to Abram after the Lord had parted from him, look around from where you are to the north and south, to the east and west. Isn't this interesting how the Lord waited to talk to Abraham after he had parted ways with Lot? You see, so God was telling him, hey, I call you. I didn't call you on Lot. So now that they had parted ways, God is talking to him again here. In verse 15, the Lord said, all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. See, it's as if God in his love and grace figured out that Abraham was feeling pretty, just feeling bad because of this fighting with his nephew, and they had parted ways. So the Lord appeared to him again just to reassure him, to reiterate his promise. And he took him outside and just told him that his offspring would be countless. That's really what the Lord was saying to him. And in verse 17, go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. Again, God is reiterating his promise to Abram to reassure him. So in verse 18, so Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tent. There he built an altar to the Lord. Okay, so that is the end of chapter 13. So what principles can we learn from chapter 13? Okay. The outcome of Abram's incomplete obedience to God is really manifesting here. Like I said before, he took Lot and God did not ask him to take Lot. Okay. So because Abram took Lot with him against God's instructions, now he had brought about pain and suffering in the form of dispute and strife in his life. Just like I was saying earlier, do not add or subtract to God's instructions. Just do exactly as you are told. So Abraham brought upon this problem upon himself. But God is so faithful, and in his love, he reassured Abraham and reiterated his promise. Likewise, even when we disobey God, we should not just totally give up, okay? Once we realize that we disobeyed God, we should quickly repent and then be restored again. And God will be there always, just waiting to restore us, to reassure us, to comfort us, that he loves us and he is with us, because God knows that we are fallen human beings, we are sinners, okay? So we should always look up to God to elevate us after we make a mistake, because God does that. That's just exactly what he did here to Abraham. He elevated Abraham again and reassured him that, hey, you made a mistake, but I still love you. The promises I promised to you are still intact. Don't be worried, I will still give it to you. Boy, isn't God so good? Okay, so the application here is that God's blessings come with peace, joy, and without problems. Okay, had Abraham not taken Lot with him, he would have avoided all of this problem. Okay, likewise, never add or subtract to what God has instructed you to do. Just do it exactly as you are instructed and just trust that God can add the details. Or if God needed you to take further steps, he will guide you. Okay, so the lesson we have learned here is just obedience, step by step. Just follow God's instructions and just trust that he will add the details. All right.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation? so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info@drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.